His mission is in memory of the Nishmas Rabbi Sorbim of Yosef, in memory of Mr. Izzy Schindelheim of Shalom. Mishnah begins, Perichav Gimel, the first Mishnah. Shoal Adam, Nechavero, Kade Yayin, Vekade Shemen. It is permissible for a person to borrow from his friend either jugs of oil or jugs of wine. Bilvad Shelo Yomarlo, as long as he doesn't say to him, Halveni, as long as he doesn't use the word, lend me. But if he uses the word, may I borrow, that would be permissible. What are we concerned about? We are concerned that if the owner says, and here's the word, borrow, you might say, oh, this person wants to borrow it. Usually a person borrows an item for a longer period of time. You might come to record this loan, which of course is prohibited to do on Shabbos. Whenever the person should use the term, may I please borrow, as opposed to, can you please loan me on Shabbos? And similarly, a woman can also borrow from her friend loaves of bread on Shabbos, as long as she doesn't use the word halva'a, uses the word to borrow instead. Vim eno ma'mino, meniach taliso etzlo, v'osa imo cheshbon, la'achar Shabbos. And if his friend doesn't trust him, he is concerned, he will not return it to him properly. Or he doesn't trust him, he's not going to return properly the amount of oil or the amount of wine that he is borrowing from him. He may, in fact, the borrower may leave his cloak, may leave his outer coat with this owner, with the owner of the jugs of oil and jugs of wine, with the lender. Order. However, he is not allowed to say that this coat, this garment, is going to be a pledge. That would be considered inappropriate. Rather, if he just leaves it there and it's understood what its function is, that would be permitted. To leave an item behind as a mashkon, as a pledge, is permitted, so long as it is not stipulated as such. Vose, imo cheshbon lachar ha-Shabbos. And what happens is, after Shabbos, they can figure out exactly how much the borrower owes the lender. Mishnah concludes, v'chein erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim, and similarly, on the eve of Pesach in Yerushalayim, shechalios b'Shabbos, person forgot to acquire, to purchase for himself, he said, person forgets that he needs to arrange to offer the Korban Pesach. He needs a lamb. And what must he do? How is he going to purchase a lamb? It's Erev Pesach. It falls out on Shabbos. He can't purchase a lamb at this time. What can a person do? And tells our Mishnah, V'nyach taliso etzlo v'notel es pischo v'oseimo cheshbo nachar yom tov. Person leaves his coat with the merchant who owns a seb, who owns this lamb, and this individual can come, and he can take this lamb and offer this korban on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. It is permissible to offer the korban Pesach, even if it falls out on Shabbos. And afterwards, after Yom Tov, he can figure out how much he actually owes. Perchav Gimel, Mishnah Beis, the 23rd chapter, the second Mishnah. Mona Adam es Orcha v'es Parparosa v'mipiv. It is permissible for a person to count on Shabbos the guests who invited to join him for a Shabbos meal, and it is also permissible to count the number of courses that he intends to serve orally. However, aval lo min haksav. It is forbidden to read them off of a prepared printed list. The reason why it is usher to read off a pre-written list, the Gemara mentions, perhaps he might come to erase one of the names of the guests that he doesn't want to show up, or he might come to erase a name of someone who knows is not going to attend. Other interpretations are, the problem here is he might come to read almost like private statements, private bills, private lists, and that is like reading, you know, business section on Shabbos, and that is considered inappropriate and not worthy on Shabbos. It is permissible to cast lots on Shabbos with his children or with people in his household. What a person might do, they want to, shall we say, decide, you know, who's getting what portion. How do they decide? They cast lots to see who is going to receive which portion. That is permitted to do. However, a lottery is not permitted to do with other individuals on Shabbos, because let's say they might make a larger stink about it, and they might want to measure it, they might want to weigh it or to count it, and all those things are usher to do on Shabbos. However, with people's family members, whatever they are given, they seem to be okay with. Ubilvad shelo yiskaven lasos mana gedola keneged ktana mishum kuvya. This latter part of the Mishnah is explained, and the Gemara really is referring to during the week, that a person is not allowed to intentionally make large pieces and small pieces for other individuals, and to have a lottery, because it shows as if a person is almost stealing. The person makes a lottery with larger pieces and smaller pieces, who receiving a smaller portion will be quite upset, and they feel as if those people who receive larger portions are in fact stealing from them. In the smachta lo kanya, if a person really reluctantly has to give up something, there's a lack of a kinyon, there's almost a type of theft, and this is in fact the issue with the person who gambles, which gives up something which they are reluctant to give up. There's a type of almost theft that is involved here. Mitin chalashim al hakodashim biyomtov of alo al hamanos. It is permissible to cast lots for korbanos that will be shechted on Yom Tov, slaughtered on Yom Tov, that will be used to divvy out among the Kohanim, however, not the portions, not the manos. These are the parts of the korbanos which were actually slaughtered on Erev Yom Tov. The reason why this was Asur, because the Chachamim felt it was sufficient time to do the lottery before Yom Tov, and therefore to do it on Yom Tov was considered inappropriate. The Rambam, however, says something a little bit different. He explains that it is mutter to cast lots for Kodshim on Yom Tov, or even to cast lots on food, on korbanos that were shechted before Yom Tov. The only issue is to cast lots on Yom Tov for manos of food, which is chulin, which is non-sacred